other very, very odd experience happened today with premonitions, really, is what it was. Because last night, I did a walking tour of Kennecott from the lodge, and there was this one fellow, or these two fellows who were on the tour, and they didn't really seem to enjoy my sort of wiseacres, and well, one of them in particular wouldn't tell me his name. Told me his name was Mary at first. I said, well, that must have been hell in grammar school. He laughed and said his name was Jim. But that's the only time that I got into laughter on the tour. So as we went on, you know, he's just being quiet, and he seemed to know a lot about everything. And he seemed to be explaining to some of the other people in the crowd, you know, in between me talking here. And then, people were asking about the dentist, and I was talking about the dentist, and then someone else was asking about it, and I started to talk about it, and then it sort of hit me, and I was like, I turned to the fellow midway in sentence and said, are you Jim Harewer? He said, yes. And I said, you know, oh my God. I wasn't sure if he was messing with me or not. So I completely lost my train of thought at that point. Just, boom, lost it all. Like, oh my God, Jim Harewer, you know, here I am sort of making a mockery sometimes of these dentists. Well, I mean, not really a mockery, but it is a pretty funny story. So, so I'm like, oh my God, Jim Harewer, you know. And this, I had almost no grounds for this whatsoever. I mean, the fellow's name was Jim, and that was it. And that was the only, and it was strange. And actually, he bought me a beer afterwards. It was a really bad tour. It was a really bad tour. But he bought me a beer afterwards, and then, you know, he wasn't Jim Harewer, he was some other fellow. But, and it was interesting, you know, I just found that, oh, that's an interesting little thing. And then today, I was taking another tour, and a couple things had happened. I mean, I'd had this thing that had happened earlier in the evening with Kara, and then I had also been doing a little bit of drinking at this party, and was a little bit hungover, I suppose. And also, I hadn't gotten much sleep. I got about 5.5 hours, so I was in kind of a cranky mood. And the tour didn't get off on time, and I was pretty short with people, you know, sort of rah-rah testing and such. And, you know, and the thing is, I've been really sort of paying a lot of attention to the dynamics of these groups. And there's always, it seems, you know, in every other tour, one or two fellows whose purpose on the tour seems to be just to go along and impress their friends with how much more they know than the tour guide. Or in some cases, some extreme cases, like this fellow Mario, is to, like, impress upon the group how much more they know than the tour guide. So, you know, with these people, generally it's best to basically let them just tie their own rope and just pose them a question and say, so what are we looking at here? And they'll inevitably, you know, be forced to. So they'll be, you know, they'll be forced to answer. And then you point them out how they're wrong, you know, not so many words. And, you know, it sounds silly, and I realize I'm microanalyzing this stuff, but it's true, because then at that point what you do is you sort of assert your knowledge over them, and in such a way that it's not demeaning, but that it really lets them know that you are in control of the situation. The thing is that in these tours, like my first tour, I know perhaps now maybe 25% more, maybe even 50% more, but doubtfully, than I did on my first tour. Now I know probably about 50% more. And my first tour was horrible. And the reason is that I really allowed people to know that I didn't know that much, and I really let that off in my personality. And it was really, and the reason it wasn't a good tour is because then everyone, this one fellow in the tour, his name was Buddy, was an engineer, and he was like, well, you know, let me, I can look at it and I'll be able to tell you how it works. And I sort of let that happen. And it really led a whole chaotic effect to the tour. And the thing is that, well, obviously I didn't benefit from that because it's, I didn't enjoy the tour as much. and there wasn't as much. And this, I don't want to sound like I'm trying to being a control freak here, but it's just having one fellow tell you your job is nothing for your ego. And the thing is, I think actually it took away from the pleasure of some people in the tour because they had someone else who didn't necessarily know what he was talking about, postulating theories, and it also took away from their enjoyment. They say, well, if I paid $20, you know, I should have someone who's knowing what he's doing. But the thing is now is that I've sort of developed this almost bulletproof personality. Maybe I've gone too far, I don't know. But where the point is, you know, I'll invite people's opinions and such. But, you know, I just put up this sort of face, and I've figured out, you know, I'm able to present everything with such confidence that no one really questions me. And when they do, I'm usually able to answer their questions. Occasionally, I just have to admit, I have no idea. God, that's all bizarre. Okay, so what I'm getting around to is this. So this day on my tour, I had this one fellow. I had two fellows, Tom and Tony. And Tony seemed to be that type, you know, he was going to ask me questions and point things out. I think he asked me a question about unionization and, you know, and point things out about the mechanics. And I did pretty much the same thing. You know, I just point him out where he's wrong and, you know, he kind of shut him up. But I don't try to... The thing is, I also figure out in the very beginnings of the tour who, because sometimes my flippant style or whatever, maybe I'll make a mistaken comment, and I'll get some people who don't like me as much or who'll be kind of growly at me and some people who aren't. And, you know, I just pick those people out immediately. The people who I can tell aren't completely comfortable with the way I'm doing the tour or the way I started the tour because, you know, sometimes I'm kind of short with people there. And I think today I was like Priscilla Joyce, you know, Tony and Tom, or Tony, or whatever. So I just picked them out. And once I had them picked out, then what I do is during that tour, I really work on winning them over in particular. And usually it works out just fine. Because, you know, it's just a question of pride. You know, you throw a bone to them, they throw a bone to you, everyone's happy. So, you know, I kind of did that with Tony and Tom to some extent. And his fellow Tony, you know, so that's pretty much how it happened. Is, you know, I said, hey, you know, what's... And he, you know, I was thinking he was realizing I knew more than he did, and then was just, you know, going on enjoying the tour. And what's weird is when we came back, I was also taking Rich Kirkwood's sister on the tour, and she was really enjoying it. And actually, I was using her a lot in my examples. I made her a superintendent. And when we came back, Rich said, you passed the test. I said, what do you mean I passed the test? And he said, well, Tony Oni was on your tour. I said, who the hell is Tony Oni? And he is one of the Anchorage dentists. And the weird thing is, because I had such this weird premonition last night about having Jim Harrower, who's the head of the Anchorage dentist team there, on my tour, I was really reticent about talking about them today. I didn't say much about them, and when I did, it was very neutral comments for the most part. Very neutral. It wasn't, you know, here are these silly dentists, look what they've done. It was, you know, it was much more neutral, unbiased than that, which is really, really good, because he said he liked the tour. It wasn't by any means my best tour, but as long as he had a good time, I guess that's all that matters, because my whole touring life flashed before my eyes there.